So we are in Gettysburg Holiday Inn Hotel with Rick Fisher. He's the you are the organizer of this paranormal conference. And I would like to ask you my first question. Would you like to tell me about your background and your work in paranormal researches?
Well, I've been involved in paranormal research most of my life. At the age of 7, I had an experience. I believed I saw a ghost. And I've been on a quest ever since to find out if ghosts are actually real.
Where was that experience? Where did it happen?
It was at my grandparents' house. In fact, my grandfather was alive at the time, but woke up one night and I looked out in the hallway and I saw a man out there and figured it was my grandfather. And again, he was alive. I thought little of it and went back to sleep. The next morning I asked my grandmother why my grandfather was in the hallway. She replied he wasn't. He was working. He worked a third shift, so he wouldn't have been home. So being 7 years old, I was kind of scared, but I was also curious. If it wasn't my grandfather, who was it? Did I see a ghost? So I've been looking for those answers ever since.
Do you think that it was a ghost or it was an astral projection of your grandfather?
Well, I believe it was a ghost, and here's why. My grandfather, this incident happened probably in 1962. My grandfather died in 1982, but before he died, he told me he often saw the ghost of his father in that house. So I believe it was my great-grandfather who I never knew.
So it was in the family, in a way,
yes.
Being visited by the ghosts and researching the ghosts.
Sure.
So later, what happened in your life?
Well, I had an interest in, ghosts since then, and anything paranormal. As a kid, I saved my money, and I bought comic books on UFOs, any book I could find on UFOs, Bigfoot, ghosts, anything mysterious, I collected. And as I got older, I got more involved and wanted to investigate some of these claims. Again, I've been doing that ever since.
And what are you doing right now?
Right now, I'm working on an unexplained mystery, I believe, that happened in Carbondale, Pennsylvania in 1974. It was ruled a hoax. Supposedly, a UFO had landed in a silt pond in Carbondale. Mm-hmm. This lasted for 3 days. A strange glow came from a pond where this supposedly object had landed. The whole town witnessed this glow. Of course, the military's brought in. The area sealed off. Witnesses claimed to have seen a military truck leaving with a large tarped object on it. What was on the truck, nobody seems to know. But on the third day, they sent a diver in who retrieved a lantern that was still lit, a railroad lantern. Now, a lot of people question this railroad lantern, how it could stay lit, submerged in water for 39 hours. And I saw that, a newspaper account of that, and I took an interest in it. And nobody else was investigating it. I thought, it sounds like there's something more to that. So I've been to Carbondale several times. I've talked to other witnesses. I've uncovered UFO investigators' reports from 1974. In fact, there was 3 different UFO investigators that were called to the scene at that time. I found some discrepancies in some of the reports. My personal opinion, I don't believe it was a lantern. What it was is what I'm trying to find out. Again, a military truck was seen going in with nothing on it, and it left the back road with something on it. My question is, if it was a lantern, what was on the truck?
In this area, in Gettysburg or in Pennsylvania, how many UFO researchers or paranormal researchers do you have?
Well, we have one well-known authority on UFOs. That's Stan Gordon, who hails from western Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. As you know, he's been involved with the Kecksburg incident since its beginning, and he's still looking for answers there. I believe there's a branch of the MUFON here in Pennsylvania, and there's some smaller groups of UFO investigators.
Now we are in Gettysburg, and Gettysburg is a very famous place with the ghosts. And in a way, it's a kind of tourist attraction. But in my opinion, ghosts or the life beyond that, it's much more important than a tourist attraction. What is your opinion about it?
I don't know. I mean, how do you explain so many encounters people here have had with ghosts in Gettysburg? 50,000 men died here in less than 3 days. Mm-hmm. And there are just so many reports of people going on the battlefield and seeing ghosts. Astral projection, possibly. How do you explain gunfire that's been heard? Ghostly cannons, horses.
Personally, I heard them too.
How do you deny that?
Well, personally, I am very open to the reality of the life beyond that. In fact, life is endless. But what is the exact description of a ghost or being a ghost?
Well, we don't know. Everything we know about ghosts are only theories. And if you talk to 5 people, each one will have a different theory of what a ghost is. Some believe it's somebody who once lived. Some believe ghosts are here for unfinished business, unresolved issues. Some believe a ghost is somebody who died tragically and doesn't know to move on to the next realm or whatsoever.
And you are also teaching lessons about paranormal cases at the college, if I'm not wrong. Can you give me some information about this?
Well, I teach a non-credit course on paranormal investigating, and what it involves is how to research and investigate a place reported to be haunted. And the biggest thing is interviewing people, asking questions, and taking it from there. It's I'm more of a person, I'm sort of skeptical. I need evidence, and just to go in and talk to somebody who says their house is haunted, I won't come out and say, yes, their house is haunted because they say so.
How do you know? What kind of a technique, what kind of a method do you use to find out if there is a real haunted house or not?
Okay, well, we use a variety of instruments. Some are known as thermal scanners, which is basically an instant thermometer. It gives you an instant reading of the temperature. And ghosts are supposedly associated with cold spots. People feel a cold breeze go by them. One room may be colder than the next. And we're able to find these cold spots. Now, if they are indeed ghosts, who's to say? But it does sound abnormal to go in a room and get an ambient air temperature of 72 and then take a thermal scanner and suddenly drops to 30 degrees in a house. And you cannot find the source of that cold spot. And photographs are taken and it reveals some sort of anomaly on the photograph.
And what about the physical manifestation, just as sounds or knocks on the door, on the wall?
We're able to record sounds. Where the sounds are coming from is nobody knows. Ghostly voices have been recorded.
Speaking.
But skeptics will say it's radio frequency. But what about a response to a question you ask? That's certainly not radio frequency. And we've been able to ask questions and actually get a response.
A sound response, voice response.
Yes.
Voices.
Yes.
Just like the Fox sisters.
Yes.
Many, many years ago.
Yes.
So I'm from Turkey. And years ago, I was very, very interested in the case of the Fox sisters because they are the first pioneers in spiritualism or paranormal cases. In fact, in the 19th century. Mm-hmm. So what about their story? What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, some labeled it a hoax.
Yeah.
You know, the table tipping, the wrappings, they were creating it somehow. Mm-hmm. And again, we don't know. I mean, of course, if you're a skeptic, that's what you'll say. But there are people who actually believe they were able to communicate with spirits. And to me, that was an early form of communicating with spirits.
Mm-hmm. So do you pay attention or do you take seriously channeling or the channeling psychics, mediums?
My own personal experience with psychics, I don't say they don't exist. I've met many who were frauds, but I've met many who were actually genuine. I've never participated in a channeling session, so I don't know. I'm open to the possibility, but again, for me, when I was a kid growing up, when I would tell people I saw a ghost, I was laughed at. My word was no good, and that stuck with me. Well, my word's no good. I need proof. And that's what I try to do. I find proof. And again, to sit on a channeling session and they're supposedly communicating with the spirit, I mean, I don't know. I'd like to sit on one, find out, but maybe see if it's genuine or not, or, you know, I really don't know.
So since your first ghost sighting, did you ever have any other manifestations, any other ghosts in your life?
I ran into a ghost wolf or a ghost dog. I'm not sure what it was. It was out of one cemetery that's reportedly haunted by a menacing wolf. One night we were there to try to get some voices. I had my camcorder. I was getting ready to turn it on. It's a small stone wall cemetery. And my associate was already in the cemetery. And as I was getting my camcorder, I heard a growling noise. And I was thinking, my God, what's that? I looked down, and right at my ankle was a pure white wolf or a white German shepherd. It was canine, whatever it was. It wasn't transparent. It was solid. And it wasn't looking at me. It was like right at my ankle, snarling. And I said to my partner, do you see the dog? And he said, no, but I hear it. And the whole time I said that, I'm looking at that dog when it just vanished.
Just like the vampire movies, just like the Dracula movies.
Just vanished. But the thing is, I had a witness who heard. He heard it. He didn't see it from his vantage point. He was in the cemetery and the wall was here. The dog was down here, so he couldn't have seen the dog. But he did hear it, so I mean, it was a witness to it.
Do you consider yourself as a psychic or as a medium, as you are very open to see that kind of beings from the other dimensions?
I think if you're open to it, I really do think we all have some sort of psychic ability. Mm-hmm. Some psychics may see something, some may hear voices, some may feel presence. And to me, that's all part of being a psychic.
Your studies in general, is it proof that there is no death? Because the soul is eternal, just the physical body dies. Don't you think that this is a big hope and this is a big good news for the people who suffer from the death of their loved ones?
I don't think anyone should have a fear of dying. Every major religion believes in the afterlife. Mm-hmm. They all do. Every religion believes in the afterlife, that we do continue somewhere in some another realm, some spiritual realm or perhaps whatever. So, and if that's the case, if there's a heaven, if there's a hell, if there's purgatory or something, it still suggests that life goes on, only in another form. So I don't think death should be something to fear.
And you also founded the Pennsylvania Ghost Hunter Society in 1997. What kind of studies or services do you have in your society?
Well, we investigate claims of reported hauntings. Again, we just don't jump into every investigation. We try to do an interview over the phone. And I found out most of my investigations that most places aren't haunted, mm-hmm. but are caused by natural occurrences. Mm-hmm. And we're able to actually solve a case over talking to a witness over the phone rather than packing our gear and traveling and doing stuff like that. So it's important to set up an interview first. It's just rare occasions I've come across hauntings where I actually felt a presence. So I knew something unknown was there because I felt it. I don't consider myself psychic like that, but I've been in many haunted places and just a few occasions I've actually felt
comfortable. So you're an expert?
There are no experts. I mean, people call me an expert, but I don't believe there is any, because if I was an expert, I'd have answers, and I don't.
So can you give us your information of your society, your telephone number or website? So if somebody else is thinking that they have a haunted place, they can call you?
Sure. They can visit www.paranormalpa.com, mm-hmm. or they can call 717-684-3643.
And is there a fee for the research? Do they have to pay something?
We don't charge for our services. Again, we're out to prove the ghosts are real. I don't think it's fair to charge somebody for something that's still not explained. That'd be too easy. I could say $50, I'll tell you your house is haunted, and just go in and say, yes, it is, and earn my $50 and leave. Yes. There'd be a million ghost hunters doing that. So we don't charge for our services. But again, we just don't investigate every claim, because it's, again, it's important to set up an interview over the phone and discuss just what is occurring. And we try to have them keep a little journal for 30 days, write down any activity that may have occurred, and we can see if there's a pattern to it, or, you know, see if their story's credible, or there's such like that before we actually do an investigation.
And what about your stories, ghost stories? Because in the information that I got about you, it says Rick enjoys reading and listening to stories on the paranormal.
Yes. Well, I have a large collection of books on the paranormal, from UFOs, Bigfoot, ghosts, and I enjoy reading them. And I find that most of the books are consistent, such as a ghost story. Most people don't see a ghost. They hear. They may hear a footstep. They may have heard your name called. And it's consistent with all these books. I mean, somebody writes a book from Ghosts of London, and there's encounters where people heard this, heard that. And then you read a book from California, and same thing. So it's consistent. So there has to be something to it. I enjoy collecting my own ghost stories. In fact, where I'm from, I have several ghost tours that I give, and I talk about the stories of these haunted places in Lancaster County.
So what about your own books? Are you writing a book? Or are you planning to write a book?
I'm working on a book called Ghosts of the River Towns, where I'm from in Columbia. Next town is Marietta. It's this little town, River Towns, and I've collected legends and folklore and ghost stories from these areas. And the book will be called Ghosts of the River Towns. I'm also working on a book, shouldn't say this title name yet because I don't know if it is, but I'd like it to be called Carbondale Conspiracy.
Yes.
Because I believe, again, it was something other than a lantern. And if I can find evidence of that, well, of course it was a conspiracy. Whether it was a UFO, who's to say, whether it was something Soviet, like some people believe, regardless of whatever it was still a conspiracy because the townspeople were lied to. They were led to believe that it was a lantern, and it wasn't.
Very nice. So thank you very much for this interview. Do you have any other message to Jerry Pippin and the radio show listeners?
Well, I thank you for interviewing me, and if anybody has any information on the Carbondale supposed UFO landing in 1974, please contact me.
Thank you very much.